Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Today, we take a look at what could happen if the Fed does indeed taper off sooner than expected. Bonds in focus, but the digital bond and its place in capital markets and the price of gold. We saw it dip to a four-month low this month. Overall, I think it's still trading up for the month in total, but we'll take a look at gold prices and what it means for you if you're thinking in terms of opportunity cost of holding on to gold for the rest of the year. Also, what are money managers turning to after China's regulatory crackdowns, which have so baffled investors? What is the sell-off leading to? Let's check in with Cheng Chai Sun, Head of Investment at Provident. Good to have you with us this Monday morning. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, Michelle.
So let's start off with, you know, what markets have been talking about for some time. A lot of debate over the timing. If the Fed does indeed taper sooner than expected, what will this mean for stocks? So a solid majority of economists polled by Reuters believe the U.S. jobless rate likely to remain above its pre-pandemic level for at least a year. And they think the Fed could announce a plan to taper asset purchases in September. So if we do indeed see the Fed, the U.S. Central Bank reduce its $120 billion monthly purchase of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities sooner rather than later, would that lead to investor fears of shockwaves of the sort that perhaps fuel the 5% sell-off or taper tantrum that we saw back in 2013? Or do you think the tapering could transmit signals of a healthier economy, which in turn could see a cyclical small cap rally? Your take.
Thanks, Michelle. Good question. I think it really depends, you know, at that point when the tapering is done, what the market is expecting and what it has been pricing in with regards to economic growth. I mean, if somehow the Fed has announced the tapering and at that point expectations of growth are actually low or weak, then we might actually see stocks fall because, as we know, you know, the Fed funds rate sort of controls the risk-free rate, right? So stocks are priced on future cash flows and that are discounted to present value. And one of the key determinants is the discount rate. So if the discount rate goes up, well, prices, if everything else stays the same, prices fall. But if at that point the tapering is because there's strong economic growth coming, inflation numbers still look robust, and you know, they're doing it to temper inflation, then, you know, we might see better reaction from stocks. So it's really all down to what the market is expecting at the point it happens.
All right, depends on sentiment at that point in time. Let's switch gears, bring it back to Singapore. So Keppel Corporation issued its first three-month commercial paper on fixed income execution recently on the platform called DBS Fix Marketplace. So the aim for this marketplace is really one-click deals, arming issuers with an interface that will allow them to issue their own bonds directly into the market while maintaining the ability to execute bond transactions via dealers. How do you think this new tool could impact investing decisions? Can you give us a primer on what is a digital bond?
Well, yeah, bonds typically are, well, they're physical notes, you know, so if you invest in a bond, your custodian actually has to keep a physical note. And even further back, you know, the reason why there's this term clipping coupons in when you talk about collecting coupons from bonds is because bonds used to print out, you know, the number of coupons on the physical paper, and you would have to cut it, go to the bank and redeem it for the cash, for the coupon. So that's where the term came from. So, so a digital platform, a way to, and of course, when you issue a bond, you know, you have to get an underwriter, which is typically a big investment bank, and you have to go through a process. So what this platform allows for is for issuers such as Keppel to go directly to investors without having to go through all the physical parts of, you know, having to create all the documents, the prospectus, etc. And it helps them directly reach investors and reduce costs.
All right. So the next stage, according to DBS, is self-led digital bonds that can be listed on a digital exchange that will allow companies to look at a different investor base altogether to tap capital markets. But speaking of capital markets. What other areas of digitalization, in your opinion, are changing capital markets that are pertinent to investors to understand now?
I think one of the big ones is probably digital currency. I think it's being looked at by many central banks. I think some of them are even running trials right now. And I guess that's really, you know, a big change for capital markets or finance. It's essentially we've, you know, always had some form of physical currency or, you know, tied to accounts. But, you know, digital currency would literally mean that, you know, it can be stored on your phone, it can just be stored on your computer, and that's the only copy of it, and that's where it resides. And it might bring about, you know, lower transaction costs for businesses and for investors, you know, likely around FX, you know, because we invest in many different currencies globally, and if there's a way to reduce, you know, the cost of FX transactions, that would be a big benefit for investors.
All right, so central banks shepherding the birth of digital currencies, that you see is the next big thing for markets to keep an eye out on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, speaking of, you know, digitization, and when you think of cryptocurrencies, you do think about, I mean, for me, the big movements encapsulate moving currencies away from being pegged to gold, for example. You know, that was a big, big sea wave change. And if we talk about gold, last week we saw such a sharp fall in the price of gold. We saw in early August gold prices dropping to a four-month low of about $1,677. So can you put this in perspective for us? Why did gold prices fall so far, and what can investors do if this continues?
Gold, you know, there's an opportunity cost to investing in gold because gold doesn't provide you any kind of interest, any kind of carry. So the last couple of weeks, you see gold prices fall, but in the last couple of weeks, you also actually see U.S. 10-year yields rising, you know, and that's essentially that's your cost of holding gold, right? If I'm holding gold, I'm not holding something else that could be bearing me a return. And the treasury yield is sort of the de facto risk-free return. So that would be sort of the best comparison for like my cheapest sort of cost of holding gold. And if that's going up, gold prices might fall because suddenly it's more expensive to hold gold. So, you know, the rebound in treasury yields in the last couple of weeks likely is just, you know, shown that economic growth is still strong, and you know there is still a return from holding treasury yields, and therefore sort of causes gold to lose its luster a little bit.
All right, some believe gold may even trade back at 2,000 before the end of the year. I mean, it's a divided landscape, of course. Where do you think gold looks like it could stand?
Well, gold really depends. Gold largely, you know, most people view it as a hedge for inflation.
Yep.
So I think if inflation expectations are high and somehow yields aren't going up to match that, then gold has a chance of going up because, you know, the cost of holding gold becomes very low. But of course, if yields are higher, then there's a chance that gold might not make it to that 2,000 mark.
All right. Now let's move to the next big headline that have got investors baffled, and that's China and what next when it comes to its regulation. And China's released a blueprint that actually calls for greater regulation over more of its economy, indicating that the sweeping regulations that we've seen on key industries is likely to continue for some time. The document was issued by China's CPC and its State Council and said authorities would actively work on legislation in areas like technology, national security, monopolies, and strengthening in sectors ranging from food and drugs to big data and even AI. Now, given China's recent regulatory crackdowns, business drinking, big tech monopolies, where do you see money managers turning towards?
Well, my managers are turning towards sectors and industries that China is looking to emphasize in its next stage of development. So, yes, they are reducing their holdings in video game companies, in some of these fintechs, delivery, etc. But China is also, you know, said they want to emphasize on semiconductor self-sufficiency. They have goals to bring down emissions. And so there's a favorable regulatory environment for things like semicons, for renewables, electric vehicles. And that's where money is being rotated into, especially since investors still want to maintain their exposure to China stocks.
All right, great angle there. Thank you very much for joining us, Chai Sun.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle.
That's Cheng Chai Sun, Head of Investment at Provident, with me in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.